Well, I'm thankful this morning to be able to share the gospel again by the help of the Lord. I'd like to write the title this morning on the board. I've written on the board, Snare in the Midst. I find that the gospel message, the scriptures that we read in the Word, they have practical application in our lives. There is word that speaks to divine things that are beyond the temporal. Things that we experience in our souls that are beyond what we may see play out in a temporal sense. But I also find that the Word of God helps us know how to live. It has practical application in our day-to-day living, our lives. And this morning, I feel like the Lord's inspired me with a message of caution that I think applies to all of us. And I'd like to share it with you this morning. I'd like to start in the 34th chapter of Exodus. And we'll read just a few verses in the 34th chapter of Exodus, starting at the 12th verse. Exodus 34 and 12 says, "Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is Jealous is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land," and it goes on and it speaks of, you make that kind of covenant and you find out that you end up doing the very exact same thing that you at first had issue with. The message that I have this morning may not be exactly what you might think reading these verses. I preached a couple of weeks ago about serving God only. And not to have other gods in your life. Not making covenants with other things that take the place that God wants to have in your life. And you start allowing things to come into your life and coexist with you, may start out innocent enough, it might seem, but often those very things can then become a god to you that you start worshiping, giving them your time, giving them space that God wants for Himself. That's not my message this morning. I'd like to focus on the exhortation in these scriptures that speaks to having a snare in the midst. What is a snare? You know what a snare is? A snare is something that entraps. A snare entraps something. It captures. A lot of times a snare doesn't take the life of, but if you snare something, usually what you end up with is that something is now in the control of something it don't want to be in control of. You captured it, you snared it, and now it is under a force, another force, that it probably would just as soon not be under. I remember when I was 5, 6, or 7. I'm not sure. It was one of those ages. And I remember looking over the fence into our neighbor's yard, and some neighbor boys lived over there. Neighbor boys my parents would just assume me not hang around with, and I didn't. But I did look over their fence. And I looked over their fence, and I saw some seemingly innocent articles. I saw a cardboard box, yay big. I saw a stick, just a stick. I saw some twine hooked onto the stick. And I saw some bread. And I was taken with it. Not because I'm so taken with a stick and string and a cardboard box, but I was taken with how they were arranged. The cardboard box was at about a 45 degree angle. There was a stick that was just barely holding the box up. There was a piece of string that was hooked to the stick that went off somewhere in the darkness somewhere. And there was bread under the box, and there were birds in the vicinity. And I looked at that, and of course that captured my imagination. And I looked at that, and you know, if a bird, I'm not a bird, but if I were a bird, and I looked at that, I'm not scared of boxes. I mean, it's a cardboard box. See those in the backyard? I use sticks to make nests. I use string to make nests. Not afraid of string. And I like bread. It's not a block of seeds, but it is bread. And I like bread. In the absence of, you know, something that tastes better, bread looks pretty good. And so, really, in a bird's eye view, there wasn't anything really to be concerned about. Except for the fact of how it was all arranged. And the fact that there was something that had ill intent on the other side of the string that the bird couldn't see. And so when the bird decides he's going to go get the bread, there is some other force at play. There's a bigger picture at work than what the bird thought. And in an instant, the bird has been snared in a seemingly innocent looking situation. Sometimes I wonder if we as people don't pay enough attention to what's on the other side of the string. Sometimes we as Christians don't take enough time to fully understand the space that we're getting ready to walk into. Looks innocent enough. Looks like a place we ought to be. But if we're not careful, there could be a snare in the midst. And snares usually don't have warning lights, you know, way before you get there that says, "Hey, I'm a snare. Come closer so that I can get a hold of you." A snare is secret by definition, usually. It's, you don't see it coming until it's too late. And sometimes I think as people, we don't spend enough time understanding what's at work. And that there are forces out there that would do us harm. And if we're not aware of them, the string gets pulled by something that we didn't know was even there, and there we are. I'd like to look at this, at these verses here for just a little bit. It started out and it said, "Take heed to thyself." Or did it say, "Take heed to everybody else around you"? No. It does. It says, "Take heed to thyself." Do you know, I find this all throughout the Scriptures, in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Over and over the Scriptures say, "Take heed to thyself." We as people are so apt to look out at the steps that everyone else has taken. We are. As it's our human nature, particularly when we don't agree with what's happening, when we see something that's not exactly consistent with how I would live, I'm looking at, did you see what they're doing over there? And in the meantime, I'm walking right towards a snare that then gets me because I'm not paying attention to myself. So this said, "Take heed to thyself." Jesus said in the 21st chapter of Luke, and I think we might have referenced this some time back, Jesus said around the 34th verse again, "Take heed to thyself. Take heed to thyself, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares." Now here comes this word again, For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Pray ye therefore, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you might escape all of these things that are going to come to pass. That you might stand before the Son of Man. Take heed to thyself, it said, lest at any time, in other words, snares, again, don't give you a lot of warning. Lest at any time, when you're not expecting it, when it seems like all is safe, all is well, take heed to yourself, lest at any time. And Jesus said, your hearts are overcharged. You know what happens when you get overcharged with something? You start to lose focus on other things that you ought to pay attention to. When you get overcharged with something and you're overzealous about it, you're way into it, we get our blinders put on and then we don't recognize the environment that's closing in on us. And so Jesus warned us and said, take heed to yourself, lest your eyes get on everybody else and you forget where you're going, lest at any time when you're not expecting it, you become overcharged with something and then a snare gets you and you're not able to escape. That's a caution to me. That has practical application to us in life. So this scripture in Exodus said, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant. Well, what's a covenant? Well, real briefly, a covenant is when you make an agreement. It's a promise and a covenant can be subsets of each other. But a covenant is usually when you make an agreement to do something or not to do something. And a lot of times it has the words if and then associated with it. If this happens, then I'm going to do this. It gives space for, it gives allowance for, it gives room for. It's an area, I will walk into this area. If this happens, then this is what I'm going to do. It's a covenant. And it can change depending on what the circumstances are, but it's something that you begin to commit yourself to. And this scripture said, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant, and this said with the inhabitants of the land. The Israelites made a covenant with their enemies. They made a covenant with people that were worshiping gods they weren't supposed to be worshiping. But they made an agreement with them that if you will serve us, then you can dwell in the land here and we won't destroy you. We'll let you stay here. And then you know what happened. They allowed space for that, and eventually they got in a place where they shouldn't have been, and it became a snare to them. So this was saying, take heed to yourselves on what covenants we make, on what spaces that we walk into, on what lest they become a snare to us. We can get caught up with things. We can become obligated to things. We can find ourselves in places we never intended to be. If we say, this is what I'm going to do, this is where I'm going to go, that over there looks like a space I should be in, and then we head in that direction. Folks, in the end, the covenants that we make, the things that we take up, the things that we align ourselves to, the things that we purpose to go and be, can be a snare to us. Listen, particularly if we become overcharged. If we become overcharged with our preferences. If we become overcharged with where we want to be, our beliefs. We become overcharged with the space that we want to dwell in. We become overcharged with, all of us feel pretty strongly about our opinions. Is there anyone here this morning that doesn't feel strongly about your opinions? There are some opinions we don't feel real strongly about. But in a lot of cases, we do what we do because we feel pretty strongly about it. But if we become overcharged with those things, we can get caught in a snare because we begin to lose sight of the other things that are in the environment around us that are involved with whatever it is that we're getting ready to be involved with. And the warning right here is to be careful. And I want to exhort us this morning, let's get quiet before God. Let's make sure we understand what spirit we're of. Let's make sure what's on the other end of the string that's attached to the piece of wood that looks really innocent, that's in the vicinity of the bread that we're going after. Zeal without knowledge is a wonderful recipe for trouble. I'll say that again. Zeal without knowledge is a wonderful, wonderful, every time it works really well, wonderful recipe for a lot of trouble. Have you ever met somebody that just has a lot of zeal? I mean, they are ready to conquer the world. Work with people like that. They will get it done. You put something in front of them, you can count on me, I got it. And they rush out to conquer the world or the plant or whatever it is, and they have no idea what they're getting ready to rush out and conquer. They have no idea what they're doing. But they got a lot of zeal. I mean, they're in. They are all in. If there's going to be somebody on my team and my life's at stake, I'd like them to be all in and have a lot of zeal, and I'd also like them to have a lot of knowledge too. Because a lot of zeal, let's go do it, let's go get her done, and they really don't know what they're doing, that's trouble. And we can get ourselves into trouble when we feel like that the beliefs that we have, as Christians, we can feel real strong about the fact that this is right. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm standing. This is where I'm going. And we get so zealous about it without stepping back to ask the Lord to enlighten us with His Spirit, the light of His Spirit. And we begin to look at things through in a human way of thinking. We mean well. We want to do right. Being zealous is good. The Lord wants us to be zealous. But if we're not careful and we haven't paused long enough to get light on the matter that we're getting ready to go conquer, that a lot of other people are involved with, we cause a lot of trouble. We can walk right under the box thinking we're doing a really good thing, and before we know it, we're in captivity to something we had no idea was coming our way. So, this message could go a lot of different directions. This morning I'm inspired with a particular warning having to do with this. I want to bring it closer to home with a specific type of snare. And it's this. It's when we feel strong disagreement with somebody or something. There is a built-in snare that's associated with that. Particularly when we begin and decide that we are going to defend our position and engage with other people in the thing that we have strong disagreement about. Now, let's hear the message out. As Christians, of course we should feel strong disagreement with much that is going on around us. God wants us to have strong disagreement with much of what is going on around us. And further, The Lord wants us to strongly stand up and defend our position of right in the right way. So don't take away from the message that Brother Rod said that we shouldn't be in disagreement with people that are around us, and we should back off and go to our corner and just don't say anything and just let whatever happens going to happen. That's not what I'm saying. This is the warning. This is a built-in snare that the enemy is there to do battle against us throughout life as Christians while we endeavor to do right. And that is that there is a built-in snare when we feel strong disagreement with something or someone, and especially when we begin to feel overcharged with it to the point that we're ready to rise up and defend our position, engage with other people. Doesn't mean we shouldn't. It means be careful. That's what it means. Zeal without knowledge is a recipe for disaster. Zeal with knowledge, zeal according to the light of the Spirit of God, is a real wonderful, effective, needful thing. But absent that, be careful. Let it be a caution to us. So, for example, we'll just continue to bring it home because that's where we live. So consider. We live in a time and in a world where our freedoms are being crowded. Our freedoms, in some cases, we feel like are being taken away from us. The morals of the world are in decay. And the attitudes and attributes that are being demonstrated by many in the world around us are at variance with where our position ought to be. But beware of the snare. Because the snare is that if we're not careful, the very things that we stand in disagreement with, the very attitudes that we feel are coming against us, the very attributes that we look at and have real trouble with, if we're not careful, we can end up in almost the very same exact place in our endeavor to stand up for what is right. Paul said in the first chapter of Romans, he speaks of those that hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, you look at the definition of what it means when it says hold truth in unrighteousness, and one definition is he was speaking of those that hinder the truth because of their unrighteousness. Hinder the truth because of their unrighteousness. But for many years, I will just tell you, when I read that verse many, many years ago, it struck a chord in me. The literal translation in the English language. Those that are trying to hold the truth, but they do it in an unrighteous way. Did you know that's possible? Did you know it's possible to hold to the truth, to elements of the truth, in an unrighteous manner? I can be modest in the most prideful manner, but I'm holding the modesty, but I'm real proud about it too. I can hold to other items in the Scriptures, the written law of God, in such a way that I become critical and judgmental of other people, and my spirit isn't right. And I began to hold to elements of truth, but I hold to them in an unrighteous manner. And if I'm not real careful, this is the snare that can get us if we're not on guard. That while we stand in disagreement, and we should, I want to reemphasize that. There are some things we should. There's other things it's not as big of a deal as what we think it is. It's a preference. It's not an issue of right and wrong. I've had to learn that growing up being married. not everything's right and wrong. A lot of things are preference, and sometimes it takes too many years for me to figure it out. That's just a preference. I'm not just right. We're both right. We do it different ways. There are those things that we need to be careful about. Other things, there really are a right way and a wrong way to do it. And we face those things, but be careful how you face them, lest you get caught in the built-in snare. It's like a built-in snare because we're human. We're human beings that still have to battle the flesh. And so when we stand in disagreement with something, most of the time our blood pressure doesn't go down. At least mine doesn't. Does your blood pressure go down when you get into a real tough, disagreeable situation? Human nature is that your heart starts pounding a little bit more. You start feeling that thing, and hopefully the Spirit says, watch out, you're being tempted. You need the grace of God. Usually you don't just feel like relaxing at that point, because we're human beings. And so there's a built-in snare. And if we're not careful, we can end up being on the opposite side of an issue, and yet in the end, end up participating in some of the very same things we had problems with in the first place. In the 15th verse, this is what happened to the people of Israel. They weren't in agreement with the gods that these people were worshiping, but they allowed them space and they made a covenant with them. And in the end, they actually began serving some of the same gods that they at first had disagreement with. And sometimes we can do that, end up doing exactly the same thing. But the thing that's more subtle, that's even more of a snare, is when we have the same attitude, the same wrong spirit, the same spirit of judgment and trying to put something on somebody that we're feeling like is being put on us, but we don't recognize it because there's different clothes put on it. It's clothes of, well, this is right, this is righteous, this is what I'm supposed to stand up for. And in the meantime, we start demonstrating a spirit that isn't of Christ. You know what I'm saying? This is where we live. This is real life stuff. And this has application to many areas of our lives. Political influences, influences in our marriage. I mean, that's one we live with. Those of us that are married every day, you can have disagreements over things and think, I'm so right, I need to make sure I establish that I'm right and get it across, and not realize really what all's going on before I rush into it. Until all of a sudden I realize I'm acting in a way that's worse than the thing that I was trying to speak to in the first place. Our coworkers at work, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Do you know, I think most people mean well. We mean well. I like to think that most people mean well. But sometimes we can allow these same sorts of things come in among a congregation. Can happen between brothers and sisters. Those that we meet out in the world. And, have you ever been driving down the road and somebody does something that doesn't make you real happy? And you think, what did they just do that to me for? That wasn't right. Well, they shouldn't have pulled out like that. What are they thinking? And then when you get up next to the car door window of the next car, hopefully you're not looking at them in a mean way, you find that there's somebody really in trouble in there. You go, oh, that looks like that could be me one of these days. Lord, have mercy on me. Or 10 minutes later, you do the same exact thing. You do the same exact thing. that you were just upset about. And your reason may be a little bit different, but in the end, the same thing happened. That's why there's a built-in snare. When we come across things that we are just in disagreement with, and we feel really strongly about it, there's a built-in snare that if we're not careful, we end up being in a place that we don't want to be. The 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians still applies. Without love, folks, everything just turns to noise. Isn't that what the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians likened it to? A tinkling cymbal? It's just noise. You can have all these other things that are so right, but if you don't have love, if that doesn't back up whatever it is that you're contesting, before people can ever get to the content of what it is you're trying to express, they have to get through your presentation first. And if your presentation is so thick with the absence of love and you and your position, they never get to the content of what you're trying to present. And it might be right what you're trying to present. And it may be exactly what the person needs. But if your presentation is not with love, it's not according to the Spirit, and you've allowed yourself to get into this built-in snare, they never can even get to what it is you're trying to say, because they can't get past your presentation. These things, again, applies to our lives all the time around us. A lot of years ago, I learned this motto. I can't remember where I read it. Maybe somebody taught it to me. I can't remember. But it goes something like this. Before you engage with other people in something that you are in disagreement with, or maybe somebody is doing something and you feel like they need to be lined out, we've all been there, probably both sides of that equation. But before you go engage, check these three things off the list. First of all, is it true? You're going to go engage with somebody, make sure you know what you're talking about. Is it true? Secondly, is it necessary? And third, is it kind? You know, a lot of times in our zeal, we go down a road, we think we know exactly what we're talking about. We're going to get somebody fixed. We're going to stand for truth with somebody that we don't think is holding to the truth. And we go down that road, and it's not even true what it is we just stepped into, until we find out too late and we wish, I wished I would have just held off for a while. I wish I would have waited till I understood it better. Before you engage, make sure that it's true. If you've determined that what you're getting ready to engage in is true, it's right, ask the Lord to help you understand, is it necessary to address this? Why is it that as human beings, me included, why is it that we as human beings are so quick to feel like we have to correct everything that we see is wrong? Did you know that we don't have to correct everything that's wrong? If someone says, I really like those green benches you had in your church, they're not green, they're blue. You could derail the whole point of what the person was just getting ready to tell you. The point maybe wasn't exactly what color it was. Maybe they were going some totally different direction. But sometimes we can be so ready, we feel it's so necessary to correct anything that we believe isn't true. And it's really not necessary. It's okay. It's okay to let some things go. I'm still learning this, okay? I'm still learning that. It's okay for not everything to be exactly in its spot just like it's supposed to be today. Maybe it'll get there tomorrow. But sometimes we can cause more trouble trying to make everything just so, and it's not necessary. But let's say the first two criteria are met. It's true, and yes, it's necessary, it needs to be addressed. It just has got to be addressed. Sometimes maybe you're the boss on the job and you have employees and you got a problem. And yes, you've recognized it's a real problem. Yes, it's necessary that it needs to be addressed. Thirdly, can you do it in a kind way? Are you in a place that you can do it in a way that they can get past your presentation and get to the content of whatever it is you're getting ready to say? Same in your marriage. Same with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Same in the congregation. Same at work. Everywhere we go, we can be so quick. Yep, it's true. Yep, it's necessary. And I sure hope I can do it in a kind way. And by the time we step in the box, the rope gets yanked and we are in a place we would rather not be. And these things challenge me because our lives are made up of years, and our years are made up of months, and our months are made up of weeks, and our weeks are made up of days, and our days are made up of hours, and hours are made up of minutes, and minutes are made up of moments. And we live in the moments. And if we're not careful, we can have, our lives can be defined as just pushing through life, assuming that we're always right, it's always necessary, and it needs to be done. And in the meantime, there is a built-in snare that we fail to recognize, that when we are in disagreement with something and we're overcharged with it, we can get overcharged in all these things I mentioned. Our coworkers, we get overcharged with them. Get overcharged on issues of right and wrong. That'll overcharge us about as quick as anything. Moral issues, we get overcharged really fast. We get overcharged in our marriages with issues. Get overcharged. Jesus said, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time." So that's my message this morning. I want to be aware of the snares that are built in to differences that we do have a responsibility to deal with. God doesn't want us to just run away from disagreements. He does want us to address them. He wants us to work through them. He has the grace to help us do it in a way that we can let our light shine. He expects that from us, to stand strong for right in the right way. And this has been a challenge for me throughout life, that the Lord would help me understand what is it that I'm getting ready to walk into, and that when I get all done with it, I can say, "Thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you, Lord, for helping me see what I before didn't see." And if we do that with each other, with the world, those that we engage with, we can be the kind of light to the world that God is looking for us to be. May the Lord give us all understanding in these areas. Pray for me, because I want to be true. Amen.